Our scripture lesson for this morning is found in the Gospel of Luke. It's on page number 1606 in your pew Bibles. Luke chapter 8, beginning with verse 26. Hear now the word of God. They sailed to the region of the Gerasenes, which is across the lake from Galilee. When Jesus stepped ashore, he was met by a demon-possessed man from the town. For a long time, this man had not worn clothes or lived in a house, but had lived in the tombs. When they saw Jesus, he cried out and fell to his feet, shouting at the top of his voice, "What do you want with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had commanded the evil spirit to come out of the man. Many times it had seized him, and though he was chained hand and foot and kept under guard, he had broken his chains and had been driven by the demon into solitary places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion," he replied, because many demons had gone into him, and they begged him repeatedly not to order them to go into the abyss. A large herd of pigs were feeding on the hillside. The demons begged Jesus to let them go into them, and he gave them permission. When the demons came out of the man, they went into the pigs, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When those tending the pigs saw what had happened, they ran off and reported this in the town and the countryside, and the people went out to see what had happened. When they came to Jesus, they found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and they were afraid. Those who had seen it told the people how the demon-possessed man had been cured. Then all the people in the region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because they were overcome with fear. So he got into the boat and left. The man from whom the demons had gone begged to go with Jesus, but he sent them away saying, "Return home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man went away and told all over town how much Jesus had done for him. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I remember well, and many of you will remember well, the promo line for ABC TV's Wide World of Sports back in the day, setting up the drama of human sports competition, which many of us so vicariously enjoy. Let the games begin, the opening of every Olympic game championship, beginning 2 weeks of many of us being glued to the TV set, rooting USA, USA. Well, I get drawn in because, well, I hate to lose at anything, even if it's my team that's winning or losing. I know, beneath this thin facade of quiet composure that you all know. This pastoral image, the mild-mannered, gray hair preacher, lurks a highly competitive personality who loves to win. Good example of this is back when I first met my wife, Bev. I met her 37 years ago at a Bible study, and after the Bible study, I said, "Hi, do you want to play miniature golf on the boardwalk?" And she said, "Sure." And actually, two other guys came along, and she beat all three of us, setting up, of course, a rematch. Because this, in fact, was my home course in Ocean City on the boardwalk, the Fairy Tale Oriental course. Nobody beats me at that course. Well, anyhow, the rest is history. She never lets me forget, of course. In fact, she beat me again on our honeymoon up at Lake George. We were on our honeymoon. She beat me twice, and we had to play a third game just so I could win before we could go back to the hotel. So from miniature golf to soccer to tennis, volleyball, ping pong, some of you in the choir know the last vestiges of my competitive edge still come out at choir. Anyhow, parties, not a choir. We don't, from Monopoly, Pinochle, all the rest, I love to win. Wouldn't it be great to play anything if you knew that you couldn't lose? In Christ, as Hector shared with the kids, we have the victory over all of our spiritual foes. And it's not a game. It's serious business. And I want to talk about that today as we begin a 3-week series on spiritual battles, spiritual conflicts, spiritual warfare, which I was asked to share a theme based on an invitation or a request during the survey at the beginning of the year. Some people asked me to speak on this subject. Consider our friend in our scripture text this morning from the Gerasenes. If ever there was a top candidate for loser of the month or the year, it would be this guy. No longer living in town among the society, no longer living in a house, living in a cemetery. He had cast off all his clothes along with the chains that had bound him. In utter humiliation, he lived. In contrast to the proper, respectable Jewish society of Jesus' day, think about it. He was tormented by a whole tribe, a legion of unclean spirits, unholy spirits, ceremonially unclean, according to the law of Moses, the Old Testament law, couldn't touch a corpse. He lived in the tombs. In fact, no one of Jewish culture and society would live in such proximity to pigs. It's just not kosher. But this guy, a most unlikely candidate for Christ to call to be the first missionary after he was cleansed, after he was healed, he wanted to follow Jesus, as I read in verses 38 and 39, after Christ had cleaned him out and cleaned him up. But Christ sent him back to his hometown to give witness, to spread the good news. This man had no seminary training to share the gospel, not one of Jesus' best men or choice disciples. No, he simply had had a life-changing experience of Christ. Jesus transformed him from a madman to a missionary. How dramatic is that? Jesus transformed him from a loser to a winner in just the course of an afternoon. Victory. Victory in Jesus, as we just sang. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 15:57. As I say often, over and over again, there are three main opponents to our spiritual life, to us who believe in Jesus Christ: the world, the flesh, and the devil. Christ defeated them all on the cross and with his resurrection. But we still have battles with all three of these adversaries. Even though Christ has decisively won the war, there's still battles going on. We battle with the world, all things that are set up in opposition to Christ and his kingdom here on earth. Remember from last week, we talked about not being conformed to this world, but being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Don't let the world press you into its mold. Remember Jesus' prayer for his disciples then and us now when he prayed there in the upper room in John 17. I am coming to you now, Lord, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth, Lord. As you sent me into the world, I sent them into the world. For them, I sanctify myself that they too may be sanctified. Holiness. Here's the connection to our last sermon theme on holiness. Right? This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Every day as I watch the news, I look and I think, this world is not my home. This crazy, chaotic world. Thank God I'm just passing through. I am in the world, but not of the world, as are all believers. Count on it. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. We fight against the world, number one. Number two, we fight and battle within ourselves against the flesh, the residue of our sinful nature. Even though if we have put our trust and faith in Christ, He has forgiven us our sins, there's still hanging on a residue of the old nature. There was a young man in a church that I served for 17 years in Elmer. The first day we moved in, our kids were little, and there were a couple of boys, some brothers that were being raised by their grandmother in the house behind ours, and one of them was very quiet and complacent, compliant, I should say. The other one was kind of wild and crazy and ornery and never knew what I was going to do next. And he grew up and was, all was over our house. And we kind of adopted him, still have him like as an adopted son. And he came to the confirmation. He was in the youth group, Sunday school, everything. Came to confirmation class, but he had never been baptized. So when it came to confirmation, we needed to have him baptized. And back then I always asked those being baptized if they would share a passage of scripture that really fit them, that was a testimony for their life. And I actually helped Jeremy to pick this passage in Romans chapter 7. Imagine the Apostle Paul saying this, as amazing a spiritual giant as he is, and Jeremy, kind of ornery, kind of like you and me, reminded me a lot of myself when I was that age. Listen and see if this sounds familiar. Romans chapter 7, beginning with verse 15. I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I can't. Sounds like a Dennis the Menace, right? I do what I don't want to do, what I hate. I know perfectly well that what I am doing is wrong, and my bad conscience proves that I agree with these laws that I am breaking. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love to do God's will so far as my new nature is concerned, but there is something else deep within me, in my lower nature, that is at war with my mind and wins the fight and makes me a slave to sin that is still within me. In my mind, I want to be God's willing servant, but instead I find myself still enslaved to sin. So you see how it is. My new life tells me to do right, but the old nature is still inside of me who loves to sin. Oh, what a terrible predicament I am in. Who will free me from my slavery to this lower earthly nature? Thank God it is done by Jesus Christ our Lord. He has set me free. Thank God it is done. He has set us free by the power of His Spirit and His amazing grace. God has won the victory, even over ourselves in the flesh. And one more, our cosmic conflict with the devil and his hosts. As we begin this mini-series of sermons, we think about our spiritual adversary, the devil. Satan thought he had won. He nailed Christ to the cross. The hordes of Hades jeered and sneered as Jesus hung dying on the cross. 3 days later, all the hosts of heaven's armies shouted and cheered. He is risen. He has won it. He has done it. Hallelujah. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above. With wisdom, power, and love, our God is an awesome love. Consider this victory. Listen to this great passage, this victorious passage in Romans 8. What then shall we say in response to this? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave himself up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who can bring a charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he who condemns? Christ who died, and more than that, who was raised to life and is at the right hand of God and is interceding for us. Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship, persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or the sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor the present nor the future, nor powers, nor height nor depth or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of Christ, our Lord. We have victory in Jesus. And again, one more passage, 1 Corinthians 15, the resurrection chapter. I declare to you, brothers and sisters, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does the perishable inherit the imperishable. Listen, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a flash, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. And the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised imperishable. And we shall be changed. When the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable, and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O grave, is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin in the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Be well assured that he who is within you, the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have invited him into your heart by faith, the Holy Spirit is greater within you than he who is within the world. In Christ, there are no losers, only winners in him. Be invited. Even now, Christ invites you personally to his victory celebration. Behold, the table is prepared even in the presence of his enemies. Come to the feast. Sit at his table. You are welcome. Come, celebrate. Victory by faith, for he has won it, and he has won it for you.